You're here this morning, and we're glad to have seen you. If you heard some little voices singing, the CDC children joined us with their parents and sang today, and so it was a wonderful service. I wish you could hear it. I understand it was recorded, so if you want to go online, you can actually hear that. God's blessings to you. We're glad you're here. If you would, look at the two cards in the pew in front of you, a yellow one and a blue one. Make sure and sign the, if you have any prayer requests, that'd be the yellow one. We'll gather those after the scriptures are read. And the blue one is just to let us know you're here. We'll also gather those at the offering time. God's richest blessings. Please stand and greet one another. Please remain standing. We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Let us now confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his own mercy and grace, has given his own Son to die for us. And for his sake, he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For the house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday in Lent is from Isaiah chapter 43. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Philippians chapter 3. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is recorded in the book of St. Luke, the 20th chapter, beginning with verse 9. Jesus began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to the tenants and went into another country for a long time. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants, the renters, so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant, but they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. They also wounded him and cast him out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance may be ours." And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But Jesus directly looked at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them. But they feared the people, so they watched him and sent spies, who pretended to be sincere, that they might catch him in something he said, so as to deliver him up to the authority and jurisdiction of the governor of Rome, Pontius Pilate. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Day. Our text is taken from Luke chapter 20, and it is the beginning with the first verses of that text. It was the questioning of who Jesus was doing his ministry by whose authority. Well, I remember my boys as we were raising them, and I believe it was Karsten who caught his younger brother, I won't say which one, but he was eating candy, and he hadn't eaten his dinner yet. And Karsten says, "What are you doing?" His younger brother said, "Eating candy?" And he says, "Who told you you could do that?" And, "Mom." And he kept chewing on his candy. And since he had said "Mom," that was the golden clue and the golden key that allowed him to know that he could eat candies. He'd gotten some special a papal order or dispensation or something from her to get that done. But when we started to see that happening, it was the same thing as really they were asking Jesus, by whose authority? The chief priests, the scribes, and elders questioned Jesus, "Who gives you the authority to do all these things? The healing, the preaching, driving out demons and the like, and even healing people on the Sabbath." In our time, though, we too question the authority or the influence of Jesus upon our life and even upon our world. Some will ask and some will say, "Jesus is just a good teacher, a miracle worker, a prophet, a mentor or guide, perhaps." It seems like many of us in our world today make him out only to be a man, not to be the Messiah, not the Son of God. But you know, I want you to look at how Jesus dealt with this situation. Jesus loved all of these people, including the chief priests, the elders, the scribes, who were questioning by whose authority Jesus was doing it. And so he tries to get them into a point where they will consider who he is. He asked them a question. And in turn, he asked them to come up with their answer. He wanted them to discover who he is and why he had come. And that's the same way it is for us. I pause and I ask you, who is Jesus to you? Who? If someone were to say to you as they were lying in a hospital bed, and you're there visiting them, and they looked at you with deep eyes and said, really, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? What would you say? In the book of 1 Peter 3:15, we are told always to be prepared to give an account of the hope that is within us. Always being prepared. Who is Jesus to you and to me? Jesus asked these people his question. They had been at odds with John the Baptist, and so Jesus turns to them, these group of questioners. He said, is John's baptism of heaven or of man? And they pondered and they thought and they kind of talked with each other. And the religious leaders of Jesus' day thought to themselves, and they say, if we say it's of man, the crowds will pick up stones and stone us and kill us. But if we say that John's baptism was of heaven, Jesus will say, then why didn't you believe in him? So what they did do was they replied, we don't know where John's baptism or his authority came from. Jesus wanted them, you might say, to come to the one conclusion that John's baptism was of heaven. It was from God and done by God's authority. And he was wanting them to understand that it was by that same authority that he performs his ministry and commands, having the very authority of his heavenly Father to do so. He was from heaven. He was and is the Son of God. He is the bread of life, come down out of heaven. But since they did not answer him, Jesus refused to tell them by whose authority. It was out of love that Jesus did this, I will contend. And my friends, it's out of love for you and for me that Jesus wants us to come and to discover the truth of who he is and why he came. Like the religious leaders of his day, he would not just tell them who he was or why he had come, because they were already denying his ministry. He wanted them to have to come to the conclusion and to discover the truth that he truly was who he said, the Son of God, the Messiah. He wanted them to arrive at their own conclusions. There was a man by the name of, he's still alive, Josh McDowell, an atheist, who was teaching at a college, a university, and he set out on the task of disproving the Bible and the Christian faith. And as he studied and cross-referenced and looked up scriptures and saw how they all lined up, they all pointed to Jesus. And from the Old Testament through the New, they all lined up. And they prophesied not only where Jesus would be born, but the town and the family and the lineage, and how he'd be born of a virgin. And they predicted how he would also die and be suffered and be killed. And even before crucifixion was something that had yet been invented, it was recorded in the book of Isaiah that he would die that way. His side would be pierced, and not a bone of his body would be broken. All of these prophecies came true. And Josh McDowell came to the conclusion that Jesus was the Christ, that he is the Savior, he is the Son of God. He titled his book, You've Got to Come to a Conclusion. Jesus, the Liar, Lunatic, or Lord. He concluded that Jesus is Lord. He's now speaking as a religious campus pastor, speaking apologetically on the Christian faith, speaking of the truths of God's Word, an avowed believer in Christ. He came to his own conclusion. He discovered that truth. And so it is, my friends, that that's where we turn today to Jesus' parable. And as he began to tell the people this parable, we are reminded of what a parable is. An earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. And that it does. Jesus talks. A man planted a vineyard, and then he let it out, rented it out to tenants, and went into another country for a long while. I want you to note how this owner was. He was engaged in his vineyard. Not only did he purchase the vineyard, but he also planted it. Then he dressed it with it as a vine keeper, shaped it, cultivated the soil, and then he planted the vines. He made it all ready to bear fruit, to have a harvest. He did the hard work. He was an all-in, all-hands-on-deck type of owner. He was vested in it. He'd not only purchased it, but done all of this work. And this owner was the one who was waiting to bring forth the harvest. This is God the Father in this parable, who created the heavens and the earth, and was also one who worked with Adam and Eve, and then he went on to be telling them to go forth, be fruitful, and multiply in God's vineyard, the world. And when we start to see that, God the Father maintained that relationship through Adam, Eve, Moses, Noah, Abraham, the prophets, and others. But there was never, ever a doubt of whose world or whose vineyard this was. It was God's vineyard. Our parable, however, tells us that these servants were sent by the owner, our Heavenly Father, to the vineyard, wanting to collect some of its fruit. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him, sent him away empty-handed. He sent another servant, and the same happened, and yet a third. And they beat him and cast him out as well, sending him away empty-handed. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I'll send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "Aha! He's the heir. Let us kill him so that we can have the inheritance and have all of this to do as we will." And they threw him out of the vineyard and they killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. The point of the parable is this, my friends. It is about the church, and this is God's church, and this is God's vineyard and God's world, who is now going to send his own son in to deal with these troubling tenants, these religious leaders. They had mistreated God's prophets, Moses and Elijah and Elisha and Jeremiah and Isaiah and the like. And now up through into the New Testament, John the Baptist and others. And they'd sent him away with having none of the fruit of their produce, not giving glory to God, but running it the way they would. They had mistreated God's prophets, and now God so loved the world, his vineyard, that he gave his only begotten son. Him they did not receive either. Although the world was made through him, John tells us, his own did not receive him. Though he was the light of the world, they preferred to live in darkness. And they would be the ones by whose hands the Son of God would be beaten and killed and then crucified. Jesus' words were biting and bitter. The parable was about them. He had exposed their plan to kill him. And he announced the judgment of God upon them, saying that the vineyard would be given to others who would own it and direct it. Those, my friends, are today the Gentiles who would now be included. That's you and me. We are now included in God's vineyard and plan to redeem the world. And this parable was definitely an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And in pointing out their sin of what they intended to do with the son of the vine key of the vineyard, he was also spelling out a solution as a loving Savior, warning them and telling them at the same time that he simply wanted them to know that he'd come to save them. He says, "Tell me this story. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." Now, if you look at a capstone or a keystone, it's similar. And if you look at like an arch, if this was all masonry work, You would have that keystone or that center point at the very tippy top there. If you had the keystone going in there, it would actually hold all the other bricks and stones together. It was the thing that all things were connected through and by. Jesus tells them that I am the Redeemer, the rock of their salvation. He is telling them that He is the one who is sent by God, who by His authority is having the things that He's doing is by God the Heavenly Father's authority. And in doing so, they were now hearing a message of hope and of salvation if they would only discover it and receive it. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Who is Jesus to you? Is it that cornerstone in your life, in your world? Is He the one that holds and frames your life? Is He the one that you know is the one that's always there for you? If the times get tough, you know He's there. Jesus says, cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Jesus says He'll hear your prayers 24/7. Jesus says, I'm the Lord. I'm your Savior. I'm your Messiah. I am the rock of your redemption. I am the cornerstone. Jesus loves you as He loved the Pharisees, and yes, He wants you and me to discover this truth for ourselves and to come to the realization that our faith is really founded and grounded upon the one named Jesus. And by believing such, you and I can be certain of our salvation. For a lot of people, the most important question they'll ever answer is, if you were to come to a point in your spiritual life tonight, if you were to die, would you be certain where you'd spend eternity? If you could say, yes, I'm certain I'll go to heaven, my next question to you is, why? And the right answer is Jesus. Jesus is the one who paid the price for my sins upon Calvary's cross. Jesus is the one who rose from dead and the grave and conquered sin, death, devil, and damnation. Jesus is the one who gives me the guarantee that God is satisfied with what He has done so that I am saved, and so are you. The good news for us. What do we have to do? Believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. In His name and by His name, we are saved. God bless you all. Amen. Please stand. Join me as we confess our faith this week in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light,
very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead. I have no end. Holy Spirit, Holy Creed, life. With the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Lord and Savior Jesus, we do give you thanks for the gifts of your church, for the gift of discovering what your word tells us, who you are, Jesus. Help us as your Holy Spirit, may you guide us and direct us into such truths. Help us to learn the heavenly meaning in the earthly everyday routine of life. Help us to discern this parable and to see who you are to us. Help us to see that, Lord Jesus, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, I also pray that you would be with our teachers of the K-8 program, that you would help them to find truly places of service where they can utilize their gifts and talents. Provide for their daily bread. Lord, we also ask that you would open the doors to students who are seeking new educational opportunities at a new location. May you bless them in this, their search, and time of search. May you open the doors graciously to them. But above all, we ask that for our teachers and our students, that they might be a bright beacon of hope to the places to which you are sending them. Allow them to take what they have learned here and to allow it to be a blessing and a foundation of faith for them. Help them to be bold witnesses unto you in Jesus' holy name. Lord, in your mercy, Lord and Savior Jesus, may you also be with the Florida Georgia District. May you bless them and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in their efforts to minister to and beyond our district and our state, even internationally. May you bless the work that we do together. May you bless also, Lord, our government. May you strengthen our governor and our state legislators. May you be with our President Donald Trump and our senators and congressmen. May you bless their efforts to govern rightly and to protect and hold us in peace and harmony in our society. We know that they are gifts from you, and we ask you, O Lord, to give them wisdom, strength, and encouragement on their path forward. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, now hear the prayers that that are requested this day.
Following petitions, we pray for the following with medical conditions and concerns. We pray for the healing and comfort and to give the doctors wisdom to treat them. We pray specifically for Tanner, a 6-year-old boy with serious medical problems. And we also pray for Tanner's parents. We pray for the mother of Jennifer's friend Lisa for complications from surgery. Lord, we pray for Larry, in ICU with a brain bleed. We also pray for Russell, diagnosed with acute hepatitis and suffering liver failure, an extra measure of peace for him. Lord, we pray for Diana and for her next chemo session. And we pray for Carmen and her upcoming 6-month oncology appointment. Father, also we pray for Richard for healing from general health concerns and needs. And Father, we also pray for the following in need of an extra measure of your grace. We raise up Semhar for your care and peace. We pray for Lucas, a child in need of protection and healing from a trauma experienced. We pray for Jonathan for safe travels back from Guatemala. And Lord, a prayer of praise for Greg for good medical reports. Lord, in your mercy.
And Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he broken it, he gave thanks, and he gave it unto his disciples, and he said, Take and eat, this is my body given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, in the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped and had given thanks, he gave it unto them, saying, Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you drink this, do it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. This cup which we sup and this bread which we break, is it not proclaim the Lord's death until he comes? Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. You may be seated.
There's a few brief announcements, but I don't know what they are. we can read them off of here, though. Yeah. You have it there?
It's not in here. I do. It's in the cheat sheet.
Sorry.
Very good. Okay, so the last of our weekly Lenten devotions will occur this Wednesday, of course. We have a noon time, 12:10 to 12:50, and during the lunch hour, and then also at 7 p.m. Please note that the soup and supper has been canceled for this week, so just come at for the 7 p.m. service in the evening. And then you can mark your calendars for Saturday, April 13th, when we'll spend the morning here on campus sprucing things up for Easter. Many hands make light work, so please plan to share a few hours of your time to care for our church campus. The more people participating, the faster the work will go. So we'll gather at 8:30 and it'll last to 11:30 for yard work, cleaning projects, and around campus. Coffee, water, and donuts will be available. And then the youth. Our youth have partnered with Prince of Peace to raise money for the National Youth Gathering. They're putting on a mystery dinner theater at Prince of Peace Congregation on Saturday, April 13th. Called Death by Chocolate. You don't want to miss this. See your Trinity Weekly or Facebook page for details and ticket information. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, so don't forget to bring your palm branches to church next week for Palm Sunday. And also don't forget your iDignity coin cans are due back to Trinity on Palm Sunday as well. And no other announcements. We'll continue with closing.
And join us for our final hymn and have a wonderful week.